Blog Talk Radio.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me. Take me out to the black. Tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me. There's no place I can be since I found serenity. You can't take the sky from me.
There is so much to tell you tonight, it will be difficult to get it all in. But let's start with the rule change. The RNC pushed through a new rule that will forever change the way that Republicans choose their candidates. Rule 16 is for the election, selection, allocation, or binding of delegates and alternate delegates. Any statewide presidential preference vote for the Republican nomination for president in a primary, caucus, or a state convention must be used to allocate and bind the state's delegation to the national convention in either a proportional or winner-take-all manner. In layman's terms, that means there are no more free delegates to vote as they choose. And then part two, no delegate or alternate delegate who is bound or allocated to a particular presidential candidate may be certified if the presidential candidate to whom the delegate or alternate delegate is bound or allocated has, in consultation with the state party, disavowed the delegate or alternate delegate. Again, what does that mean? It means no delegate, even if elected by Republicans of that state, may serve as a delegate if the candidate and the state party decide they don't like them and they want to replace them. Conservatives, Tea Party members, and Liberty supporters immediately vowed a floor fight over this rule. On Tuesday morning, delegates from Virginia and Rhode Island were on their way to lead that fight when their bus driver refused to stop at the convention center three times, circling the building, then leaving the area altogether. And when they returned to the convention center, well, the delegates had already missed their chance to vote on this issue. One of those Virginia delegates, Matthew Hurt, tweeted as this was going on. Take a look. Morton Blackwell is on a bus outside the Rules Committee where he's needed to fight for grassroots conservatives. We have looped around the GOP convention twice and driven away from it. Rules Committee member Morton Blackwell still on the bus. So who is this Morton Blackwell that was trapped on this bus with Virginia delegates? Blackwell is a member of the RNC Rules Committee, and he was the most ardent advocate opposed to the rules change. Now, inside the convention hall, delegates who did make it, they were asked by Speaker of the House John Boehner to vote on adopting this new rule. Now listen as the vote is taken.
The question is on the adoption of the resolution. All those in favor signify by saying aye. All those opposed, no. We need another chair. The ayes have it. The resolution is adopted. Without objection, the motion to reconsider is laid on the table.
In the opinion of the chair, the ayes have it? How could the Speaker of the House determine clearly how many voted aye and how many voted no? Listen again, but this time to cell phone video from inside the crowd.
Opposed, no.
Well, maybe there's a good reason, a really good reason, that Boehner claimed the eyes had it. Today, incredible cell phone video was released as delegates stood by and videotaped the teleprompter that Speaker Boehner was reading from. We're going to take this video full so you can read along for yourself.
The question is on the adoption of the resolution. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
So, the most controversial rule in the Republican Party history, according to countless conservatives, wasn't voted through at all. It was scripted. Despite the shouts of what at least half the room of delegates appeared to have been voting, Boehner just read along with the script. So why is this rule so controversial? Consider this. In 1976, Ronald Reagan was a conservative outsider in the Republican Party. But delegates who were conservatives fought back against the presumptive nominee at the time, Gerald Ford, and they forced a brokered convention. Reagan nearly upset Ford thanks to conservative delegates who had had enough with progressive republicanism. Brian Doherty is a Republican National Convention delegate from Pennsylvania. He made this point about this rule change this week. Quote, "Now these rules as they are, if they were in place in 1976, Ronald Reagan would never have risen to power in the Republican Party. When he challenged Ford in 76, he would not have had a say. And then he would not have been in a position to win in 1980. So, we would not have a President Reagan if those rules had existed back then." So what you need to know is that the Republican Party didn't need to do any of this to nominate Mitt Romney. Romney had the nomination. He had the numbers, at least. But looking ahead, it appears the party was so concerned about not having to put up with Tea Party candidates or Liberty candidates in the future, or apparently with those conservatives like Ronald Reagan in the past, that they were willing to start a civil war for control of the party. Make no mistake, what happened in Tampa will not stay in Tampa. And that is Reality Check.
Good evening and happy Easter. You are live with Tex and Rex. Irreverent, relevant, and radioactive conservatism with a bite. I'm your host, Rex, broadcasting to you from the Imperial City.
And this is Tex, broadcasting from Austin, Texas. How are you doing tonight, Rex? And what is on this evening's agenda?
Well, I'm happy because it's Easter, and that's a wonderful time of year, but I'm also angry again, as the opening
good for you.
Little Megadeth song there stated, because I've been reviewing all the articles, clips, and information from Tampa 2012, and it just put me in a very bad friggin' mood because it reminded me again how screwed up the Republican Party is. And on the federal level, the Republican Party is the standard bearer of conservatism, and I am hacked. Why did I review all these things again? Well, because the Republican Party has the spring meeting coming up April 10th through 13th, and one of the topics on the agenda is going to be the rules that they illicitly pushed through in Tampa. And Tex, you remember, we were there in Tampa during that terrible hurricane. And no, I'm not talking about Hurricane Isaac, because, well, that was nothing. You and I were out on our deck looking over the Gulf and smoking cigars in that hurricane. I'm talking about the hurricane put forward by Ginsburg, Romney, and Rove. You remember that?
Oh, absolutely. I was there. I remember it well, as if it were yesterday, actually. And we were talking back last summer, and actually after the convention, and stating that this was going to cause a civil war in the Republican Party. And actually, we said it first before it was picked up on Reality Check, but, you know, we didn't copyright it. Who knows? It could have been a dual creation. But yes, we were saying that this is creating a civil war in the Republican Party, and guess what? The battle lines have been drawn, and everyone is fighting for the future of the party and the direction that we're going. And I think that sort of thing is healthy, actually, because if you ever want to win again, you have to understand why you lost. And so now the party at least is having a discussion about that because they thought so surely that they would be able to push Mitt Romney over the top because Barack Obama, let's face it, as far as a president, is in Jimmy Carter territory in terms of his performance or aspires to be a Jimmy Carter. And the GOP thought, well, there's no way in heck we can lose, and so we can run this horrible, horrible rhino, proclaim the death of conservatism when he wins, and steamroll the party base onto victory as we've always wanted to do from the get-go. And they failed horribly at it, and it's causing this reassessment among the grassroots, the supporters, and the establishment itself, and the people who make the party what the party is, which the party currently is a big piece of crap that's falling apart at the seams, because it doesn't know what it is. And so now we'll have the fight of the battle of ideas to restore the Republican Party and make it the party of tomorrow and the party of the future. So that's what we're doing now. And the next stop in this battle, as we've had a few stops since the election, looks like it's in L.A.
It is in L.A., La La Land. You know, honestly, Tex, I could give a shit about the Republican Party. I don't much care about the Constitution Party, the Libertarian Party either. In fact, I don't care about parties. I care about conservatism. I care about the Constitution. I care about liberty. I care about a Republican, small r, form of government. And, you know, it's interesting because, you know, we got here trying to help get Speaker Newt Gingrich elected as the Republican nominee, and along the path, when we realized the fix was in, we started forming coalitions with those who wanted to get Ron Paul, Congressman Ron Paul, elected as the Republican nominee. It's a fairly interesting story, but I keep getting shit from both the, quote, Republican conservatives and, quote, the liberty movement, you know, quote, libertarians, because you know, half of them want to burn the Republican Party to the ground for what happened in Tampa. You know, the other half want to try to, you know, reform it. The Republicans are afraid of the libertarians. I mean, the whole thing is a mess. And I really think that people need to get over themselves. Okay, we're talking about a country here. We're not talking about a party. Okay, you don't like the Republican Party? Fine. You love the Republican Party? Fine. The point is, the Republican Party, for now, is the only shot at opposition against the socialist statists in the Democrat Party on the federal level. If you have some kind of pie-in-the-sky dream that you're going to elect a Libertarian candidate or a Constitution Party candidate, it's not going to happen. Now, I'm saying this to you as somebody who did not vote for the presumptive Karl Rove monster nominee in 2012 because I wasn't going to give that turd my vote, as I said in the primaries. But I didn't have any delusions that we were going to get someone other than Obama or Romney as president. But the simple fact is that, you know, you want to build something other than the Republican Party because you don't like what they did? Fine. Do it on the local level. Constitution Party, Libertarian Party, Independent, that's great. Okay? Get the ballot rules changed. Get the access changed. Get the voting rules changed. Get some seats in the local, in the state legislature. Get a governorship or two. Then you know, can change the federal rules. But until then, it is a duopoly. And you have to stop what's happening with the Democrats. And if you don't fix the Republican Party, I don't care what you do on the local level, because the Democrat ascendancy will be around for the next 40 years, and they will take us down the road to hell. It'll be worse than European socialism. It'll be an absolute disintegration of the republic as we know it, even though it might have all the trappings that you see now. That's how important this is, and the rules that they passed in Tampa essentially make it impossible for the grassroots to be involved in choosing who is going to be the nominee. And one other note before I throw it back to you, Tex, I'm also kind of sick of all these Americans who are basically Tories. They want a king. They only focus on presidential elections. There's a lot more to it than that. For example, look at what Senators Paul, Lee, and Cruz are doing in the Senate. Support them now without any consideration for 2016 aspirations. They are actually doing the conservative work on the Hill. And if you're a liberty-loving person, you'd better get behind them. They stood up against drones and the destruction of the Fourth and Fifth Amendment, and they are planning on standing up for your Second Amendment rights as well. So, you know, get with the program. We appreciate you listening. I want to thank everybody for promoting the show, sharing it, posting it, tweeting it. Please keep doing that. You could always go to the Tex and Rex show page on Blog Talk Radio, and you can listen anytime to any of our archives from the convention when we were trying to help Mark Willis defeat little Rince Pubic for RNC chair. They're all there, and you can even download them as an MP3, which you can email to people or burn on a CD. You've got to get this information out there, because if we don't work together, if we don't form coalitions, we're going to get bowled over, and we're going to end up with the destruction of the country by corporatist politicians in either party. It's just that simple. And, Tex, I'm going to throw it back to you for your commentary, and then we've got a special guest coming up. There was a reference to Morton Blackwell from the great Commonwealth of Virginia, who was attempting to thwart the Ginsburg-Sununu takeover at the rules meeting, and they sent him on a magical mystery tour in the bus, and Ben Swan referenced that in that reality check clip that we played. We're going to be talking to somebody who knows Mr. Blackwell personally, and we'll be going to the Los Angeles meeting to find out a little bit about the rules, what's going on with them, and what you, Mr. and Mrs. Grassroots Conservative America, can do to motivate people and to affect change.
Well, yeah.
That's
right,
our agenda, Tex.
Absolutely. Well, what I would say is what happened in Tampa, where the party asserted control over the state parties and over the grassroots, which makes up the state parties, and took control of the delegates and basically threw out all the state delegates in order to throw Mitt Romney over the top, that was done not out of strength but out of weakness. And so this is why a third party is not the thing to do, certainly not at the moment anyway, because the grassroots almost got control of the party and made it what the grassroots actually wants it to be. How long were people saying that we didn't want to see Mitt Romney? How long were people saying that we want to see an actual conservative nominee? And the party grassroots was so strong that it almost took it over. That, and hence that led to the need for this whole magical mystery tour thing where delegations were not showing up at the convention. So it's not time to give up on taking over the party. Now is the time to strike. Strike while the iron is hot. And now because Mitt Romney lost, because so many conservatives did not turn out to vote for that liberal Democrat running on the Republican ticket, the party establishment is getting the message. They don't like the message, but they understand that the grassroots doesn't support that type of candidate, so they're scrambling to come up with a narrative that will convince you that there is no hope for what you actually believe, and that the only hope for you for victory in the future is to go along with the Rhino path. So they're doubling down on that, but now the conversation is opened, the wounds are scratched and bleeding. And so now the party will have the debate that will lead to a discussion about who we are and where we're going in the future, and I think ultimately that will be healthy.
Yeah, well, of course it's healthy. And look, the fact is that, you know, a party is not a good thing or a bad thing. Like I said at the beginning, I could care about the Republican Party. Yeah, I like the party, man. You got to fight for your right to party. You know, it's not good or bad. It's an organization that is going to reflect the will of its membership. And right now, it is reflecting the will of an infiltration, and as Pat Caddell called it, the infiltration of the CLEC, and that is the consultant lobbyist establishment complex, or what people call rhinos, as in Republican in name only. And some people say, well, you're the Republican sucks, so they're really not rhinos. The rhinos are us liberty people. Well, no, if you look at the platform, for the most part, and if you're a hardcore ideological libertarian, it's not going to appeal to you, but guess what? There is the Libertarian Party for you. But it is a constitutionalist platform. It is a conservative platform, and yet they don't adhere to it, which means that they're not living up to what the stated intention of the party is. It is supposed to be the opposition to the Democrats. Instead, they are governing exactly like the Democrats. And on this show, Tex, you know, I don't talk a lot about Obama, and some people, you know, want to hear about that. You know, turn on the Fox News or CNN or MSLSD or whatever the hell you want to hear about that crap. Obama sucks. It's a given. He's here. It's a given. He's gone in 2016. It's a given. Okay? But Obama is completely impotent if it isn't for those who control the purse giving him all the money that he needs. And who controls the purse? Yep, little Johnny Boehner and the Republican majority in the House, which when Speaker Newt Gingrich, and for all of those who think that Newt Gingrich is just the worst thing that ever happened, I want to remind you that Speaker Newt Gingrich brought the Republicans to a majority for the first time in 60-some years, and he moved a popular liberal Democrat president who was implementing the same crappy agenda Obama's trying to implement to the right. You like Newt, you don't like Newt, whatever. The simple fact is, in 1994, when he got the majority, he stopped Bill Clinton in his tracks. And if Newt hadn't done that, and everybody should really thank him for this, because if he hadn't done that, we would have been where we are now 20 years ago or 15 years ago, whatever the hell it was. So, you know, that's the kind of leadership we need, and little crying tan John Boehner isn't giving it to us. So for all of you liberty-loving people, whether you're conservatives, libertarians, whatever, if you love the Constitution, you love your local autonomy, you like some semblance of liberty and freedom, you've got to band together. So instead of running around yelling at each other and acting like, you know, the aliens are coming to get us.
Now what the fuck are we supposed to do? We're some real pretty shit now, man.
You got to work together. So, Tex, this rules meeting, right? We had, you know, there was the winter meeting, right? And we were trying to get Mark Willis to challenge little Prince Pubic.
Over the top.
It didn't happen. It didn't happen because the CLEC was very powerful and a lot of people cave and you can point fingers and beat them up and all that kind of stuff. But the fact is that there are 168 committee men and women who will be meeting to determine if these rules stand or if they need to be revised. Now, the chairman is little clown Prince Pubic. That's not going to change, but he can be pressured. And you have to keep in mind, some of these people are out-and-out statist, consultant, douchebag rhinos, okay? You need to put the fear of God into them. And what you do is you tell them, look, your rhino lost last time because we voted for somebody else. And if you thought that was a loss, wait till you see what happens next time, you fool. But some of them are liberty-minded and conservative committee people. They're just possibly, not really sure how this is possible, but possibly unaware of how bad this is. One, because they only talk to each other, and two, because these rules are not that clear if you don't pay that much attention. So you might need to educate them and let them know that as the voting constituents, the ones who are going to go out there and do the heavy lifting in elections, we don't like these rules because they make us impotent, they make us silent, and so why would we waste our time trying to push through a candidate like a Ted Cruz or a Rand Paul when all they want is a Jeb Bush or a Marco Rubio?
Well, why were these rules adopted in the first place? It was adopted by the Romney campaign, which is like, look, the Republican voter hates Mitt Romney and doesn't want to vote for him because he's a liberal Democrat who has no place in this party to begin with. And so they said, well, we don't want to have to put up with this in the future at the next convention, so we're going to enact these rules that neutralize the grassroots so that Mitt Romney can use his money to buy the party, as he already had done, and now he can buy the delegates because the party leadership, which is viable, can overrule the grassroots, which is not for sale.
Right.
That was the reason for enacting these rules. Well, guess what? Thank goodness Mitt Romney didn't win, even though that leads to Barack Obama winning, which is also a terrible outcome, but you got a lose-lose situation. So Mitt Romney didn't win, so now you can change the rules and fix it so the grassroots can reassert itself, and that really is the issue now, is trying to undo the damage, the harm that Mitt Romney was doing to the party, so the grassroots of the party, which are the conservatives, the liberty-minded people, the people who care about the Constitution, can reassert its control over the party and shut these freaking D.C. rhinos down and the donor base that wants to turn us into the new Democrat Party.
New? It's the same old bullshit they've been trying for 60 years. There's nothing new about it. It's just Keynesian crap, debt spending, deficit spending, Federal Reserve bailouts. I mean, the whole
token
thing.
Token opposition, pretending they don't support this while supporting it all along.
Exactly. And you know what? People are just tired of it, and they're sick of it, and sometimes they feel like giving up. Here's the thing. You can't give up. What we saw in Tampa, as wrong as it was, as emotionally gripping, and let's be clear about something. It doesn't just upset you if you happen to have been a Ron Paul delegate or a Ron Paul supporter. It had better upset you if you were simply an American, even if you're a liberal Democrat. Why? Because the Democrats do the same crap in their party, because it's the same thing. It's a duopoly.
Ask
and two, it's
Dean
because
supporters.
Yeah, exactly. The Dean, they did to Dean in the Democrat Party what they did to Paul in the Republican Party. It's disgusting. I don't particularly agree with Dean. I don't agree with Jill Stein. But everybody needs to be heard, because the simple fact is, if you believe in your political ideas, your economic ideas, your principles for how to govern, then you can win in the open and fair marketplace by making your case. But if you're never given the opportunity, then it's just statism, statism, and statism. Okay? So what has to happen, and every single one of you has to get involved, you've got less than 2 weeks. There's 168 members. You can go to the Tex and Rex Show page on Facebook, or join our Liberty Militia, or just Google it yourself. But all 168 members are easy to find on the Internet. The GOP has a list of them. You need to call them. You need to email them. You need to Facebook them. You need to get other people to do it who might not even be aware. Because if millions of people tell these committee people how upset we are about the rules and the fact that we won't lift one finger for any of your crappy candidates if our voice can't be heard, then they will have the impetus to make these changes. And Tex, when I mentioned Maura Blackwell earlier, there is a gentleman from the Commonwealth of Virginia who's written some articles which I've also posted with the show. His name is Matthew Hurt. He's a former at-large delegate to the convention. And Matthew is joining us to talk about the upcoming meeting. Matthew, you're live with Tex and Rex. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing this evening?
We're fired up.
Excellent. Welcome to the show, Matt.
Well, that's great. That's great. I've been listening along, and you know, I'm concerned because as I've heard Rex say, you know, you don't necessarily care where you get involved, at what level, or with whatever party at the local level. What I would encourage people to do, as someone who has been, I was a candidate at 19 in my home state of Tennessee, and I've been involved ever since. My parents registered to vote when I turned 19 to vote for me, and they've been engaged and involved ever since. We have two political parties in this system. We have a Republican Party, and we have a Democrat Party. And in one party wants larger government, theoretically on paper, larger government, higher taxes, more spending. And we have a party that is begging for activists to get involved at every single level, be it, you know, dog catcher, county commissioner, state senator, member of Congress, to president. And that's the Republican Party. That's the only vehicle in this political system that allows conservative, libertarian, small government activists to get involved and advance your philosophy. And so what I would encourage, you know, the first thing I would encourage your listeners to do tonight, right now, is to figure out, you know, when your local county party meets, when your local governing body meets, and get involved and go get involved in the Republican Party, because the parties are vessels. There is no ideology in the Republican Party. There is no ideology in the Democrat Party. The ideology or the philosophy is advanced by the members of that organization. And what we've seen in Virginia, with the help of Maura Blackwell and with the help of the leadership of the Republican Party of Virginia, is that liberty activists, you know, true limited government activists, have gotten involved, and we've pushed this party in a direction that is ultimately going to elect someone who will fight for, you know, for cutting spending, who will fight for bringing the troops home, and who will fight for less involvement and more personal freedom. So that's the most important thing I can tell your listeners to do right now, tonight, is to get involved at the local level, at the state level, at the congressional level. You know, the first campaign I was cognizant of was a guy who lost by 42 votes. 42 votes is you and 10 of your friends finding, you know, five of their friends and swinging an election. So these things are important. It's important to get involved in politics. And I'm thoroughly convinced that there are only two parties in this system. We have a first past the post system. If you've taken, you know, entry-level political science, you know that the winner of a national election is going to be a Republican or a Democrat, not an independent, not a constitutional party, not a Libertarian party, not a Green Party candidate. It's going to be one of two, Republican or Democrat. So get involved in one of those parties. That's the most important thing I can say right at the onset of this conversation.
Well, I mean, Matthew, I think that's important. Now, just to clarify, when I said I don't care,
sure.
I don't care. I mean, I don't care. If the Republican
sure.
Party wants to go down the Kleck road of feigning conservatism and governing the same as the Democrats, to hell with them. If the Republican Party chooses to amend these rules and actually chooses to be inclusive like they're saying that they are, then that's a whole different story. Because, you know, I want to advance conservatism. If the Republican Party wants to help us do that, great. If they don't, then they're just as bad as the Democrats. So I agree with you. People do need to get involved. But what's the inspiration to get involved in a party that has just basically told you that we're going to decide who the nominee is, we're going to decide the agenda, we're going to boot any delegates who don't want to get along with the quote, party unity, and you know, we're going to make it impossible for any candidate who can't secure eight states with billions of large donor dollars to get the nod in the party? Why would anybody want to help?
Isn't that the fun part, though? Because we're the our ideology has always been sort of the underdog philosophy. We've always been the guys who are sort of scrappy, and we've got our mohawks and our tattoos and our piercings, and we're the guys who stick out at conventions, you know, no matter what. So we've never been the guys who walk into a political event and take over. It's never been the case for us, for those true limited government advocates. So the fight for me, you know, I moved from Tennessee where Republicans got elected all the time in my home county to a place where, you know, every from top to bottom, they overwhelmingly elect Democrats. And I like that because I like the fight. I like to be able to take my philosophy and my passion directly to my opponents. And you know, that happens in the Republican Party as well. And so for those who have gotten involved, you know, by and large, young people, people under 30, people who came to the Liberty Movement with the help of Ron Paul, they supported Thomas Massie. They supported Justin Amash, Ted Cruz, Mike Lee, Rand Paul. We're ready for that fight. We've been tried and tested within the Republican Party, and this rules fight is another step along the way to making sure the Republican Party is the party of liberty and limited government. And, you know, in 8 days, I'm flying to Los Angeles with Morton Blackwell, who has really been on the front lines of this fight within the Republican Party. He's an old guy, you know, he's 74 years old, but he's worked his tail off since he was a delegate for Barry Goldwater in 1964 to make the Republican Party as open to grassroots activists as possible. So everything he's done since 1974 within the party has been to make it to where folks like you guys, Tex and Rex and me and small L libertarians or whoever can come in and say, you know, I want to push us in the direction of liberty, in the direction of limited government. And so Morton, you know, Morton opposed these rules changes at the convention in Tampa where I was a delegate from Virginia. I rode on the bus with Morton. It was very suspicious, but as Morton said, and I tend to agree, you know, you never want to blame something on conspiracy if it can be blamed on the incompetence of organizers or folks in charge. It's you know, running a convention is very complex. So sitting on that bus, you know, in the moment, I was sitting with Morton, and I thought to myself, this is very strange. Having stepped off that bus and going to the convention, ultimately, you know, Ben Swan got most of the story correct. We were actually on the floor for the vote to take place, but stepping away from it and saying, you know, it was probably incompetence that led us to to be on the bus for that period of time. That being said,
I wouldn't give him the benefit of the doubt.
But
there was some intelligence behind that.
You know, John Sununu, bright guy. Morton, you know, we made it into the convention hall as Sununu was walking out of the room. Morton encountered him. They had a brief conversation. It was very cordial. And the rules were put in place because they were expecting a Mitt Romney first term. As we've seen, there's not going to be a Mitt Romney first term. So there's
what does that tell you about the price of a Romney victory? If the price of a Romney victory was going to come at the expense of cutting off the entire grassroots of the Republican Party, all I'm saying is that is a deeply flawed candidacy if that's what it was going to take to make a victory.
Sure.
And it cast doubts on your assertion about the intelligence of John Sununu, because reasonably thought that Mitt Romney was going to win, they were the ones smoking pot, not the Ron Paul people.
Well, they didn't need to change the rules whatsoever for 2012. There was no, and in fact, when you set rules in motion at the convention, when you pass those rules were adopted for the subsequent convention. So those rules were going to go into place for 2016 when theoretically in their hopes and dreams, Mitt Romney was going to be the incumbent, so that in states like Minnesota, where we had a fantastic number of activists, or Maine or Massachusetts or Oregon, or even in Virginia, where we were, you know, I was a Mitt Romney bound delegate, but I supported Ron Paul and we were united in Virginia. What was fascinating about that was in those states where those delegates were not bound, Minnesota and Nevada, I think, and Maine and other states, that really scared Mitt Romney and sort of in the establishment crowd. And so they wanted to change rules so that in 2016, you know, we couldn't come along and nominate somebody like Ronald Reagan in 1976, who challenged Gerald Ford and picked up delegates after North Carolina because he got aggressive and learned the delegate strategy. And you know, what's funny about it is this is what Barack Obama did in 2008. He had a delegate strategy. You know, Hillary Clinton was running the standard presidential campaign Democrat primary strategy, which is what, you know, every Democrat had run for the last 50 years. It's what every Republican had run for the last 50 years. And Barack Obama was smart about it. He said, I'm going to go in, and it doesn't matter if I get the votes. It matters about the delegates. And so Ron Paul had that same strategy in 2012, and he picked up, you know, it was 200 and some change were the delegates, and it ended up being several hundred more than that, 400 or 500 actual delegates who supported Ron Paul, but some of us were bound to Mitt Romney. But, you know, it's one of those things where I'm ready to go. I'm going to Los Angeles in 8 days, 9 days, and I'm going to fight, and I'm ready. We have to get 126 votes. You know, the motion has to pass by a 3/4 majority. Morton has emailed Reince Priebus, has asked for his support on these rules, because the chairman is the most powerful entity, the most powerful individual in the party. And so if Reince were to come out and say, I support Morton's motion to repeal these rules, to give the power back to the grassroots, then there's no doubt in my mind that it would pass on April the 11th, I think, is the rules committee meeting. But
if I could ask you, I mean, let's focus real quick on, for the benefit of our audience, what are the changes in the rules that were made, and what are we trying to get changed back, and how do we undo what was done at Tampa, and what are the primary rules that need to be changed in order for everything to go back as it should be?
Sure. Broadly, the rules changes are essentially that the establishment or the front runner candidate for president on our side could say in Minnesota or Nevada or Maine or Virginia that they don't want one, that the delegates would be bound to the people who voted to the candidate who received the majority votes in that state. Even though party rules suggest in other states that, you know, if I was running in Minnesota, I could vote for whoever I wanted. If I was running in Nevada, I could vote for whoever I wanted. So what's funny about it is there are party rules and there are primaries and conventions, and people who get upset by by the folks who get elected in Minnesota or wherever, who aren't bound to the candidate. They're playing by the rules. Ron Paul played by the rules. And so, you know, Mitt Romney and Ben Ginsburg and John Sununu wanted to change the rules in the middle of the game while Ron Paul was racking up delegates. And so what folks can do right now, between now and April the 10th, is to you guys have some great links posted at the Facebook page, the Tex and Rex Show. I would encourage them to read those, get educated about the events surrounding the rules change and what's going on now, and then tweet at Reince Priebus, you know, at R-E-I-N-C-E, and just say, support Morton Blackwell's rules change. Morton Blackwell is on Twitter, at Morton Blackwell, no spaces, and just increase the pressure, because what we're going to see is, I think a lot of folks, a lot of national committee men and women and state party chairmen saw what was happening in Tampa and said, this isn't going to help us back home in our state of North Carolina or Virginia or wherever. And so a lot of them opposed it. But, you know, a wise man said, you know, for them to feel the heat, they've got to, or they've got to see the light, so that we've got to make them feel the heat. So we got to put pressure on them. So Ryan,
that was Reagan.
Yeah. So Reince is on Twitter, R-E-I-N-C-E. Tweet at him. There's a great Red State link you've got there. I wrote it. You know, it sums up Morton's email. He wrote a very long email. I've only included the relevant parts. That's a great part to tweet at Reince. You can email him. You guys have a link to all the members. I will say this. If the folks who are listening tonight want to tweet at me and they want a link to the personal email addresses of most of the members of the Republican National Committee, I have that information. So folks can tweet at me, or if they want to post on your page, you guys can relay that information to me, or they can, you know, shoot me a message on Facebook. I would love to, you know, I sent out an email right around the winter meeting, and I said, I hope you guys will support Morton's rules change. And I got a few emails back from the National Committee woman from Connecticut and a few other states who said, you know, we're working quietly behind the scenes. So if more people want to email them, I would be more than happy to push that information out to folks who are interested.
Sure, so Matthew, we'll definitely put that on our page. And for anybody listening live or listening in archive, just go to the Tex and Rex Show page, and we'll have this information up there. And we'll also put a link to Matthew's Facebook page and Twitter so you can reach out to him. But, yeah, everybody needs to listen to what Matthew just said. You have to make this happen. And it's an incredible opportunity, because unlike some kind of overwhelming political campaign that has to be fought against massive dollars, you're talking about 168 committee people, right, Matthew?
Yeah. So to pass it, we just need 126 votes. And it sounds like a lot, but it's you know, that's a finite number. 126 is what we've got to get this out of the RNC on April the 11th, I think, is the vote.
Well, I know we got two votes from Maine, and we probably, you know, at least got one from Virginia, Mr. Blackwell.
Well,
we've got
three from Virginia. So what's been great about Virginia is we've been united. You know, our chairman, Pat Mullins, our national committee woman and our national committeeman, they're not Ron Paul people. They're not libertarians, small L or large L, but they are committed to grassroots activists. And I have been so honored to work with Morton and to work with Pat Mullins and our national committee woman, Kathy Hayden Terry, who have been fantastic. We were united going to the convention, and it's been great. It's been awesome to represent Virginia and Tampa and to work with these people who are committed to grassroots activists in moving the party.
I'll give a shout out to Pat Mullins, because I just got followed on Twitter today by Pat.
He's 76 and on Twitter and following people. So,
well, Matt, I should point out to you, I mean, we do talk a lot about Ron Paul on this show, but mostly because I think it represents a massive missed opportunity on the part of the party. But I used to work for the Republican Party of Texas for some time. I would campaign for Bob Dole back in the 90s. You know, Newt Gingrich convinced me back in the 90s to go to Washington, D.C., which I did. I was there for about 10 years. So, you know, I've been a Republican in the party my entire life, and it's only with this most recent election that you know, I've become quite disgusted with where the party's going. And so, you know, I think it really needs a good kick in the pants and something to get it back on course, because it's pretty clear that it's going in the wrong direction and seems only committed to going in more in the wrong direction even faster. So changing these rules, I think, is an important marker as to whether or not the party is even salvageable. Because if these rules don't get changed, I mean, I don't know what future there is for the party. It's like it decided to bite down on the cyanide capsule and just, you know, destroy itself. Because a party that's run by the leadership without a grassroots of support and without the Republican base, and, you know, just to tell you from me to other Republicans, you know, not libertarians, but actual Republican, you know, supporters, lifelong Republican supporters and donors, nobody wanted Romney. Nobody liked him. They wanted to vote against him every chance that they got. And when he was the guy, they were quite disgusted with him. And some of them plodded along and were just like, well, I guess we have no choice but to play along. But now all of them are just completely disgusted with the Republican Party. And you can't have a party that runs that way. People have to be inspired and motivated by the party. And I think changing these rules is going to be a big step towards making that happen and making people actually believe in the party again. Because in this last election, not only, I think, did people lose faith in the Republican Party, but they saw the Republican Party as holding the line against this encroaching European socialism into the U.S., and now, you know, they're starting to lose faith in the country itself, for God's sakes. And so if you can't change these rules, I mean, it's really going to be calamitous for the party, I think. So, you know, what you're doing is very important, and I just want to get your sense of when you're talking with people at the RNC who are considering voting on this, what are people, you know, are people generally favorable to changing the rules, or are you getting a lot of yes men who, well, I don't want to rock the boat, I just want to go along with the rules as they are because I don't want to change anything because I'm new here? What's kind of the sense that you're getting?
You know, what's funny is the Morton's motion is actually the status quo. This is what existed before Tampa. And so to say that you support something that was radically changed in August as somebody who's new or somebody who doesn't want to rock the boat, what happened in Tampa was rocking the boat. That was the ultimate boat rocking. That was taking the boat and flipping it over and trying to breathe underwater. So we've you know, the folks who voted
and,
for
and
this.
And that's understood then among the delegates of the RNC, right?
The folks who I've spoken to, and Morton is a very measured individual. He is, you know, he even after the convention maxed out to Mitt Romney, he is a Republican through and through. You know, I represent large swaths of the Republican Party in Northern Virginia, the young ones, and so, you know, I play the party game, and it's important to me that I'm representative of the party. And but what I've heard is, you know, this is a radical notion, maintaining these rules the way they are, and just pushing them back to what they were on August 24th, 2012, isn't that radical of an idea? So that's what I hope happens in Tampa. That's what I'll be, or excuse me, in Los Angeles. That's what I'll be working for, flying down a day early. And what I would also encourage your listeners to do is go to Morton is the president of an organization called the Leadership Institute. They've been around since 1979. They've trained conservative activists. It's a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization, but they train them in the art of political technology, which is nonpartisan. So I worked there briefly. Disclaimer: I worked for Morton in 2009 and 2010. I read Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. I helped organize college students in Kentucky, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, and West Virginia for conservative causes, for small L libertarian causes. I would encourage your listeners to go to leadershipinstitute.org/training and find a training in their community or a training in Arlington, Virginia, where LI is based, and take that training. It is the best opportunity to learn how to win elections, to learn how to get involved in the political party of your choice, to learn how to upend the system and advance conservative values. And that's one thing that you know, I've been to, there are 41 types of training. I've been to all of them, and I sit through them multiple times because I learn something new every time. And so I hope that your listeners would get involved at leadershipinstitute.org, take a training, and then go into the community and recruit somebody to run for dog catcher or county commissioner or county mayor or state senate or Congress and push the Republican Party in a direction that is open to grassroots activists and that is open to people who actually want to fight for limited government.
Yeah, Matthew, let me ask you this, though, because if I'm not mistaken, and I think that everybody should do that, because if you're serious about this, don't run around like an amateur. You got to know what you're doing. You got to be able to be informed and be confident going into these essentially hostile arenas. Politics is hostile, and if you don't know how the process works and what you're doing, you're going to fail. So I think that that's a great recommendation. But I want to focus on, it's a lot to cover, but I really want to focus on three specific things because I think these are the most dangerous things and maybe people need to have some clarity as to why they are. And that's Rule 12, Rule 16, which I believe used to be Rule 15, and Rule 40. How are those the three major problems? And if so, why do you think why has Morton expressed that he thinks these are the wrong way to go?
Sure. With respect to Rule 40, and this is what I learned on the ground in Tampa, Rule 40 is basically if I don't want to vote for the nominee who received the most votes in my state, for instance, Virginia, then I wouldn't have to vote for him. That's not the case. Rule 40 is deals with sort of that on a grand scale, but in Virginia, the rules say I'm bound to so there are 11 congressional districts. The third district, it was either the third or the sixth, Ron Paul won one district in Virginia. So the delegates who were elected from that district were bound to Ron Paul. The rest of us, the other 43 of us, were bound to Mitt Romney. And even if we abstained and said, I'm not going to vote, the secretary still recorded our vote as a vote for Mitt Romney. That's because the other rules say if the candidate won a majority of the votes in your district, your congressional district in Virginia, and it's different for every state, if Mitt Romney or whomever won a majority of the votes in that district, you are bound to that guy. And it doesn't matter what Rule 40 says, you can't abstain. Even if you abstain, the secretary records your vote for Mitt Romney on the first ballot. The other votes are Rule 12 is a big one. It's the one that allows the guys in the establishment candidacy to come in and say, we want to remove that delegate and replace it with somebody who supports our campaign. That's another one. That's a major one. There are a few others. Largely, what I would say is if you go to that red state link, there is a link to the entire motion, which has been vetted by the Republican Party legal department. So it's been approved by the folks. It is legally sound, and all we have to do is vote on it in Los Angeles. All the members have to do is vote on it. And yeah, we should change all of them. 12, 16, 40, whatever else. All the changes are represented at the bottom of that link. If you click that red state link, there is the paragraph below the email from Morton is there's a link to the entire rules, the entire motion. So read that, understand what that means. There's strike throughs and there's edits and things, and it's boring. Rules in the Republican Party and the Democrat Party and Robert's Rules of Order, they're boring. They're not exciting. But knowing those rules allows us to make the changes needed to advance the grassroots philosophy, the grassroots agenda. And I think ultimately on the other side of Los Angeles on April 14th, we're going to come out and we're going to say we made the right decision. We reversed the rules. We're now an open and transparent party. We're reaching out to new people, young people, diverse communities, and we're ready to move forward to 2016 where, conceivably we've got a Hillary Clinton on the horizon. So I would say just read all those. And be familiar with them and support Morton's motion to reverse the bad ones and move forward with the good ones.
Now, Matthew, is Morton's motion part of the established 2008 rules, or is he using the new revised 2012 rules to change the 2012 rules?
he's basically going back to the 2008 rules, which were fine, which are great. You know, nobody dramatically altered the 2008 rule, the 2008 rules, and so we want to just move back to those. You know, Morton's been involved in the rules committee since 1972. He is a, you know, we have different types of people in politics. We have people who get the political, you know, the shaking hands and the kissing babies and the advancing, that sort of thing. And then we have people who are really technical. And Morton is one of those guys who's exceedingly technical. And if you sit down and you talk with him for any period of time, you understand that he's got a great depth and a great wealth of knowledge about the procedure. And that's somebody we need on our side. And he's advancing his rules, his motion, which returns us to 2008, which is, you know, we couldn't ask for a better scenario than to pass his motion to return us to 2008, to where our folks aren't bound in states where the rules say they're not bound, where, you know, folks can abstain or whatever, and the number of rules that are affected by this. So I think we've got a really good motion. It's legally sound. It's been vetted by the Republican Party, and it sets us back to August 24th, 2012, before all the, you know, all hell broke loose in Tampa.
Excellent. Is there a chance to debate the motion, or does it just come up or down and all the discussion has to go along in the wings, or will there be any sort of transcript of the actual discussion that goes on at the RNC meeting?
There will be wrangling, I'm sure. I'll be there by Tuesday night, and like I said, I think the vote is on Thursday. If your listeners want to follow me on Twitter, at Matthew Hurt, 2 T's at the end of the last name, I will be, you know, Morton's not all that technologically advanced, but I will be tweeting out, I know that Timothy Carney, who writes for the Washington Examiner, who was interested in this story at Tampa, is going to be following up with this. If there's something that happened that's immediate, I will, you know, my phone is going to be on me every second of the day, and I will tweet it out. I will update it on Facebook. I will post it on your guys' wall. I'll make sure that folks know. And at the end of the day, you know, if time allows, I will post on Red State to allow you guys to let you guys know what's going on. And Eric Erickson has been a fantastic channel, a fantastic guy to allow us to sort of push this information out. Even as opposed to the rules changing in August, he posted Morton's posts about the rules change, and I'm certain that he will allow me to, you know, produce front page content that lets the grassroots know what's going on in Los Angeles.
Excellent. Well, you know, something else has come up that I've seen recently that causes me concern, and that is that I hear there is discussion of at the RNC meeting trying to get rid of caucuses as a way of choosing candidates and replacing them all with primaries. And the reason for doing that specifically being because of what happened in Maine, where apparently Maine would not toe the Romney line, and the people of Maine apparently were hell-bent on picking the candidate that the people of Maine actually wanted to see elected or to see represent Maine rather than who the establishment wanted. And so when I see things like that, I get concerned that the message has not been received and that the rules might not be changed. So, you know, what are your – have you heard anything about this, you know, notion with the caucuses? What's going on there and who's behind that?
From what I understand, and I don't know much about this, from what I understand, the way candidates are selected in primaries is wholly governed by the state. So the Republican Party produced their growth and opportunity project findings a couple of weeks ago. And it's really up to the states. You know, in Virginia, we have a pretty strict ballot access threshold for signatures. In Maine, they have a caucus. In Nevada, they have a caucus. And it varies from state to state. Those are governed by the states, not by the parties. And so if someone wanted to change in Minnesota or Nevada or Maine or wherever, they would have to do it at the state level. So what I would do is, if you're hearing that, and if I hear it in Los Angeles, I'll let you guys know. then you put pressure on your state legislators. There's a great infrastructure up in Maine. There's a great infrastructure in Minnesota, and there's a great infrastructure in Nevada and other states where we have a caucus system. And I'm certain that they will, you know, let their state elected officials know that they don't support a change. But just because the party puts it out doesn't mean that becomes the law of the land. Fortunately for us, in states where there are caucuses, which is, you know, in Virginia this year, we're having a convention to nominate our candidates, our Republican candidates against the Democrats. And that's because, you know, what has happened at the state level. So it doesn't come down from on high out of the RNC at Cap South in D.C. It's within the state. So there is the opportunity, you know, greater connectivity with the grassroots, with folks in the state who can put a stop to it if you guys see it moving forward in your state.
That's good. And I noticed that
it's a local issue.
Ahead, another Rick. Question?
No. I think Tex was just echoing what you said, that it is a local issue, as in it's a state issue. So there's still the semblance of a federalist structure in the Republican Party, provided that these rules are reversed. So you've got your work cut out for you. And I think your suggestion from earlier, I want to echo it again to everybody. There are some people like Morton Blackwell and Mark Willis who want these rules reverted back to 2008. There are others who don't. And there are some who are caught in the middle, and you need to make it happen. So you need to call them, you need to email them, you need to tweet them, because ultimately, as Matthew clearly said earlier, the party is the people, and they know that they have to rely on you to win. And if you're telling them that you're not going to lift a finger if these rules are in place, they have to change them, or the Republican Party stays dead.
Sure. Think about this. And if you're listening to this show tonight or in the rebroadcast or you know, if you want to listen to it online, think about this. The goal of a political party, the only goal of a political party is to win an election. So how do they win? They attract voters. And if a block of voters say, we're not going out to support your Republican candidate, we're not going out to support your Democrat candidate, then they're going to change their behavior. For the folks who are familiar, there's a guy named Mike Rothfeld who does some political training. He said politicians respond to two things, pleasure and pain. And pleasure is passing a bill and winning re-election and raising money, and pain is what you guys do. Pain is holding politicians accountable for the stupid stuff they do in Richmond, in Nashville, in Charleston, in Washington, D.C., wherever, in state capitals all across the country and in D.C., we can affect that. We can afflict pain against those individuals who do stupid things and who do things that aren't representative of the grassroots. And you just have to do it. You have to make that phone call. You have to write that email. And you have to show up in their office and say, if you do this, I will not vote for you again. Not only will I not vote for you again, but I will find somebody to run against you, and I will work for them. So.
Text.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, I think there was a shock on the behalf of the establishment this time when conservatives didn't show up to vote for Romney. They thought they would be able to push him over the top. And what has been my concern is it seemed to me that they had a playbook written, and that playbook was that Romney was going to win because Barack Obama was historically unpopular, you know, Jimmy Carter levels of unpopular. And therefore, they could run anything, and they would win. And when Romney won, they would use that victory in order to ring the bells and say the era of conservatism is over, and now we're back to being the moderate squish Republicans that we were for so many years. We played second fiddle to the Democratic Party and never won control of Congress. And, you know, hooray for us, because now we don't have to take controversial positions. And they were shocked when they lost. And when they lost, they retreated right back to the same narrative, which is, oh, this shows that conservatives are irrelevant, that the base is irrelevant, it's too radical. And so now the leadership and the Republican Party has to run away from its base in order to find this new base, which I think is idiotic, to say the least. And as I said before, you know, look, I'm a Republican, always been a Republican. And when I saw the Ron Paul movement and the people he was bringing into the party as a Republican who went to college as, you know, a college-age Republican, there was nobody else my age who was Republican, not that I knew. You know, and now you have all these people who are college age and they're interested in the Republican Party. They want to get involved in Republican Party politics, and the party turned them away. You know, at that point, it just seemed that the party has completely lost its senses. And now they're having these study groups and these focus groups to find out, how do we appeal to young voters? Well, it's not even clear to me that they want to do that, because they already had someone who was appealing. And you could have put that person in the most useless position in all of Washington, as everyone knows. It's called the vice presidency. They don't do anything. They sit around, but he could have brought in this block of voters, and you could have won, even with a terrible, horrible candidate that everybody couldn't stand named Mitt Romney. If you had put Ron Paul as the vice president, I mean, you probably could have won. But they were hell-bent on not doing that and in getting rid of those people. And this rule change, to me, is part of the symptom. And it's one of the acts of self-immolation that the party took upon itself at Tampa. And, you know, really, this party, I think, needs to fix itself. It needs to heal itself. It needs to have a real reassessment of what went wrong. And so I hope you guys are able to accomplish this change in Los Angeles, because if you don't, you know, I'm, as a Republican, I'm concerned that this party is dooming itself forever.
Sure, so I'll say context. The party's doomed itself already. The question is, can they redeem themselves and be trusted by the people who they've crapped on? And I think that this is the last chance. Matthew, tell me something. I keep hearing this September date. Something about these rules have to be changed before September. Why is that September date important?
You know, I honestly don't know about that at all. So I don't want to speak to it. I think that we've got the way the rules committee works now is between conventions. They can change the rules by a 3/4 vote. I'm going headlong into Los Angeles to shake things up, to change things with Morton, and I don't know the first thing about a September date. So that's
okay.
That's what I'm going to say about that. And after Los Angeles, if for some reason the rules aren't reversed, I will figure out what to do. And we'll go from there, and I'll figure out what's going on as far as the September date. But right now, my goal is by April 14th, April 13th, we've reversed the rules. We are ready to go for 2016, where we nominate somebody who is palatable to establishment Republicans, to grassroots Republicans, to libertarian Republicans, to Christian conservative Republicans who can march forward and defeat Hillary Rodham Clinton is my goal in 2016.
So. No, that's a good goal, and we hope that you know, you'll keep us posted. We normally broadcast Sundays. We took yesterday off to celebrate Easter, but normally Sundays at 10 p.m. And you know, if you can reach me on Facebook or Twitter or whatever. But just let us know, you know, if you can, what's happening, so we can get that information out there. And also, most importantly, what specifically our listeners can do to support your efforts to fix these rules. And I think this is important for everybody who is a Republican, and it's important for everybody who may not be a Republican at this time, but if they love the Constitution and want conservatism, because the GOP is the only shot you've got at the federal level of putting a stop to the Democrats for now. So you've got to support this effort, and if you don't try, you know, maybe we fail, okay? But if you don't try, you're guaranteed to fail. And I think that we have a victory here, because there's a lot of reassessment going on in the Republican Party because of how spectacularly they lost to a guy who got 13% less votes last time. And, you know, we're not Tories. We're not looking for a king. But understand something. Your Senate and your House are affected by presidential races. Now, 2014, maybe not so much. However, if the Republican Party doesn't change these rules, we're going to have tepid grassroots activism in 2014, which means that we're likely to lose even the House. And then, as bad as John Boehner has been, imagine what happens when Nancy Pelosi gets back in and Obama's got 2 years with her. So,
yeah,
you know, this is important.
The people who win elections aren't the guys who cut the $5,000 checks. they're the guys who knock doors and phone bank and you know, wear out dozens of pairs of shoes to elect their candidates. And in Virginia, where, you know, Virginia is for lovers of elections, and we've got an election this year where we've got to elect, you know, constitutional conservatives who are luckily at the top of the ticket, Republicans, and so we're moving full steam ahead. But you know, it takes us. It's not the guys who max out. It's not the Koch brothers. It's not not Foster Freeze. It's not the sugar daddies of the Republican Party. It's the people who knock on doors and the people who make phone calls. And if those people aren't energized, then we don't win. And it doesn't matter how much money we raise. And as Karl Rove can attest, you know, Karl Rove raised millions of dollars and won one, two, three of his elections out of the 40 or so that he got behind. Yeah, that's not the direction we're moving in. The direction isn't to waste millions of dollars on flyover TV ads and radio ads. It's to knock on doors and phone bank and elect our candidates and push this party in a direction that's more conservative, that is more limited government, that maximizes freedom and reduces the size of the state. And that's what I want to do. That's what I've been doing. And that's what, thank God for the last 40 years, Morton's been doing. And that's what I look forward to doing with him in Los Angeles and what your listeners are doing and what we're going to do moving forward. I'm excited about it.
Great. Well, thanks, Matthew. You want to, we'll post it later, but you want to give people your Twitter handle so they can reach out to you that way?
Yeah, on Twitter, it's Matthew Hurt, MatthewHurt. Just tweet at me, and you can find me. There are other ways to connect with me through there. And if you have a question, feel free to ask on Twitter or to ask in the other avenues that are available to you, and I will make sure that you are connected with the folks you need to be connected to help us change these rules in Los Angeles.
And they can also find you on Red State, right?
Red State, yeah. RedState.com/MatthewHurt. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks, Matthew, for coming on, and keep us posted. And we're going to do everything we can to support your efforts and Mr. Blackwell's efforts out in Los Angeles, and let him know that there are a lot of grassroots activists that are counting on him because of his seniority and his experience. There's no way we're going to be able to win anything in 2014 if the party goes forward with these rules. So it is imperative.
Exactly. You guys have a good night.
Well, Tech, there you have it. There you have it. We got good information from Matthew Hurt, and you know, folks, this is really important because, you know, we keep talking to you about don't focus on 2016, focus on 2014, and then here we are talking about 2016. Well, the fact is that there is no 2016 if you don't change these rules in 2014, and if you don't change these rules now, this spring in 2013, it's going to be heavy lifting for conservatives on the federal level in 2014. You will end up with a liberal Republican Party and a communist Democrat Party. That's what will happen. That's how important this is. And what you have to do is reach out to all 168 of these people. Now, that's not that hard. It'll require 15 to 30 minutes a day of emails or phone calls to let them know how you feel, and then just get 10 other people, and not in the same Facebook group that you're all in, but, you know, spread out, do it by hand, call your friends, get people involved in this, because people tend to only think about politics once every 4 years, right before a presidential election, maybe once every 2 years in the midterms. Well, the midterms and the presidential election coming up are going to be decided by these rules. So just get people to call. It's 168 members. Just call them. Obviously, if you're calling Morton Blackwell, then just tell him that you're supporting what he's doing. Sure. But if you're calling the others who may not know, then tell them to change it up. Would you agree, Tex?
Absolutely. I mean, the time has come to change things, and this is the next battle front in this Republican Civil War in order to get the party back to what it's supposed to be and get it back to being responsive to the grassroots, because really – this is the chance to change it. And for some reason, as Matt was saying, we have till September. Who knows who came up with why it's September? We'll have to look into that. But apparently we have between now and then to fix this and to put everything back the way it once was. My concern is, you know, as he was saying, look, we're just fighting for things to go back the way they were. It shouldn't be that viewed as that radical. well, you know, that's the same thing with fighting Obamacare. I mean, we're just trying to get things back. Let's get rid of Obamacare because that's the radical step, not turning the clock back to what happened before Obamacare. But you've seen already people who are talking about that, Republicans who are talking about that in Congress, how they're, you know, portrayed now as the radicals. So, you know, this is my concern about trying to change the rules. Change the rules, get it back to what it used to be so that the grassroots has a say. Because I think if these rules stand, then, you know, what hope does this party have? And, you know, I think if these rules stand that the Republican Party itself is probably going to disintegrate. And that is not a good thing because that really at the national level is your only hope for stopping the encroachment of the Democratic Party because you're going to have to be running against Hillary Clinton in 2016. And if you have a divided right in this country, then we are not likely to win. And the worst part about it is who is dividing us? Who created all this division and dissension within the party? We were doing well as a party. We were united after the Tea Party. We were stronger than ever. The dividing is being done by the establishment that wants to take us in a left-wing rhino direction. And they affected these rules changes. It's time for us to change it back and to get this party back on track so that we can start winning elections, taking the country in the direction that it needs to be going. We were doing great. The country was responding to the Republican Party message. It will respond to it again. The reason that we lost this last time is because we didn't run a conservative. We didn't even run a Republican. We ran a liberal Democrat pretending to be a Republican. We ran the Michael Bloomberg of Republican Party presidential candidates. And it turned everyone off and they stayed home. He still lost to John McCain this time around. Changing this rule is fundamental to fixing the party. It is one of the next, and probably realistically, this is the Waterloo of this battle. This has to be won, because if it's not, I just don't know what the future of the party is going to be. So now is the time. There's only 168 of these people to get in touch with them and let them know what your thoughts are on it. And the first place to start is with your state representatives or your, if you're in one of the territories, your territorial representatives to the RNC and contact them. There's three of them from each state and let them know what you think about this rules change and that, you know, you're tired of the establishment trying to tell the Republican base what to do and get them to support the change in the rules to change it back to the way things used to be.
Right on, Tex. And here's the thing. I agree with you. I think this is Waterloo. This rules change right now, reverting them back to rules that allow grassroots to have a voice, is the only shot at resurrecting this dead GOP. So it's very important that you do this, because otherwise you're going to be out there scrambling with Independents, Constitution Party, Libertarian Party, and you'll get exactly what happened in 2016, which is everybody votes for a different person, and then you get either the Liberal Democrat and the Republican Party or the Liberal Democrat and the Democrat Party. If you want anything to happen on the federal level, then you have to change these rules right now. Remember, we got a battle going on right now with state nullification. Okay, we're going to have some serious issues of noncompliance with laws that violate people's.
Can you hear me?
Sorry about that. Technical difficulties. I dropped off the call, but I think Captain Caveman's here. Maybe your presence just blew me away, and I got dropped. I think I was making a point, but glad to have you here.
Yeah, I actually lost what you were talking about, but it made sense when you were saying it.
Well, I mean, look, the real simple fact is that these rules changes have to occur now. And otherwise, it's you know, no shot. And 168 people to reach is not that hard. You know, reach 10, 20 of them a day, get 10 of your friends to do it, and they'll make these changes. I think we had some technical difficulties with my co-host also. Let me see if I can find him. Trog, tell me, you know, you heard what Matthew was saying. Tell me what your thoughts on it are.
Matthew, my first impression, I'd vote for the guy. He's a sharp young guy. He's on top of things. But, you know, I love his attitude. And that's what this party needs. I mean, we talk about this all the time. My comment, you know, that came to my mind was people got to remember that, you know, just a couple years ago, the Tea Party had sweeping winds across this country. Wake the hell up, people. You know, people got up and they got unified and they focused on you know, the Tea Party. Tax, you know, was the initial drive, but there was more than that. And they rallied across the land, and they kicked some butt and took names. Well, the problem is it wasn't just the left that went after the Tea Party. It was the Rove, Romney, you know, all that group of people who want to transform the party into replace the Democrat Party. That's now
become Chris,
the
we
you know,
won
Communist
in
party.
2010. The grassroots rises up and says, you know, look, we've fought this battle before. We have said time and again, this is not the kind of legislation we want to see. This is not the type of leadership we want to see. We're tired of this crap. And so we lead the party to victory against its own will. John Boehner was shocked that he became Speaker of the House, I'm sure. And now, 2 years after that, 3 years after that, they would have us believe that that coalition can never win again, that it's so irrelevant, too old, too white, too irrelevant, too stupid, too whatever, that it can't win when it's been winning in party politics at the national level for some 30-plus years, ever since the Republican
yep.
Party started running conservatives. It started winning.
Reagan,
and
Newt, you bet.
Yes. You start winning when you run conservatives, and meanwhile, behind the scenes, the party establishment is fighting tooth and nail to stop the party from being a conservative party, because Matt was saying, look, parties just want to win. They just want to win. I don't think this one does. I think this one wants to absolutely fight tooth and nail in order to stop its grassroots from helping it win victories. That's the problem with the Republican Party. The leadership hates the base. The base can win elections for it, but the leadership doesn't want anything to do with the base. It is a schizophrenic, dysfunctional party right now, and it needs to be fixed, because the Tea Party coalition could win and win again for this party. Meanwhile, in Los Angeles, at Tampa, and other places, the leadership is fighting tooth and nail to shut the grassroots down so that the party will never win again. That's
well, problem. You know, Tex, when you look at, you know, I don't know how much, if you guys were on CPAC, you know, the whole event, I was on it. And it wasn't very long after Sarah Palin spoke that immediately Rove and everybody else started attacking her. And I always, you know, I like to read the comments below articles. I didn't used to do this, but it's real interesting to watch the subversiveness, because I think people don't understand this, especially people get all caught up in the Democrats and Obama all day long. Your enemy is an Obama. That's a given. The enemy that's messing your life up are the rhinos and the elites and the progressives in the Republican Party. That is your enemy. That's the one that's messing your life up. That's the one that's making you miserable. That's the one that backed John Boehner and put Priebus back in office after he lost for us. And people need to get focused and understand that, you know, that's a very small percentage of people. They just have a lot of power and a lot of position, and they embedded themselves like a tick into this party.
Well, exactly.
They are not the party. We are the party.
Well,
you know,
they have some
snake
oil that they're selling. If you want to make $1 million, I'll tell you how to sell the snake oil. This is it. It's great. Makes a lot of sense. So you go up to a guy who's got a bunch of money, who's interested in Republican Party politics, and you sell him this line of bullcrap, which is the way elections are won is not by picking candidates who draw a stark contrast between one side and the other, but by picking a candidate who's so close to the other side
that you can't tell the difference because the Republican Party gets 30% of the vote every election. The Democrat Party gets 30% of the vote every election. What you're going after are the moderates and the independents in the middle. And the moderates and independents hate stark contrast because they're dumb, low-information voters. But what they want to see is who's the nicest guy and who would they like to have a beer with. Now, Mitt Romney doesn't actually drink beer, so I don't know where that came in this election. But, you know, let's get a guy who's not going to go out there and be a big fighter, but someone who's going to go out there and talk about how close he is to the Democrats, who's not going to draw a contrast, who's going to say, hey, I agree with that. You know, I think he's doing a good job, you know, but I just think we could do better. You can make $1 million selling the stuff to big donors, but you know what? That strategy wins 2% of the time. Because that's Karl Rove's record of victory in this last election. Meanwhile, Newt Gingrich was saying, you go out there and you draw the contrast. You give people, you present your vision of the world versus their vision of the world. And the conservative and the Republican vision of the world will win every time over their vision of the world. That's how you get a victory. And look at what the guy was able to do with that. Historic margins of victory. People leaving the Democrat Party, coming to the Republican Party in droves. This is what Ronald Reagan did. And you have historic victories. But the consultant class doesn't sell that. They sell something else to the donors. And the donors shell out bucks because it's a big con game. It sounds great, but it doesn't work. You know, it's like the latest diet fad. That's what Karl Rove is selling. And he's a bad guy to be selling a diet fad, believe me. But that's the advice.
He's a piece of shoulder ham, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
Ham roll. Yeah, do you remember when Newt said, I want to run a people's campaign?
Yeah,
and
the only reason that I even got into this crap.
Yeah, you go back to the Contract with America. He went out and polled America, and he found out what Americans were interested in, and they built the Contract of America based on, you know, what the public was interested in. And, you know, he didn't get up there and go, here's my 10 things I want to do. He said, here's 10 things America wants done. Gosh, I wish people would listen to this man. Get over the CFR crap and the conspiracies and listen to a man who took the Republican Party to victory and changed the party, you know?
Yep.
And it's just and it brought him back to a second victory. That was the first time in 60-some years. You know, and it's so important to understand that he went in there with a plan, and he had the nation behind him, and they had the party behind them. You know, all these youth that they went out and trained up over 10, 15 years at the community level, which is what this guy William was talking about with this other site, that .org site. You know, and they did that, and they put this thing, what was it, Conservative Opportunity or whatever it was. And they built up the next generation of leaders, and they led it to a victory. And Newt Gingrich didn't destroy it. You know, the damn rhinos in the party freaked out because they had power, and they were so used to being backbenchers.
Boehner and Graham and Santorum, those are the guys that screwed it up. And,
can't believe these people are still in
power. You bring up a really good point, and that is, you know, the party needs victories to be viable. But what kind of victories? Does it just need to win to win? Because they can say anything and do anything to win, and then what happens? It has to win on principles that appeal to people, that are in conformity with the Constitution, and that actually help improve people's lives. I'm not talking about the government doing it for you. What I'm saying is creating the circumstances and the opportunity for you to do it yourself. And that's precisely what, when you brought up the Contract with America, that's what it says to me. Newt found out what people wanted that made sense, you know, and keep in mind, there was a balanced budget amendment in there, okay, so it wasn't a, you know, big government conservatism. Granted, yes, the government was huge, and granted, it did grow even with Newt as Speaker of the House, maybe not as fast, but it was certainly the closest thing you've ever seen to balanced budgets in the last 6 or 7 decades. Okay, so but Newt then put the contract together, campaigned on it, and he got all 10 items accomplished in the House. It was Bob Dole's Senate that screwed it up. And that's the same fight we're having today. Go ahead, Tex.
And look, one of the things that they're doing, to continue on that point and Chris's point, is by going around and telling conservatives that everything you believe in is a losing issue, and you can never win with those issues. You have to abandon everything that you absolutely believe in order to win, and the way you're going to win is by becoming the Democrat Party. Well, what's that going to do to your base of support? It's gone. You don't have a base of support because you just told everybody who supported you, fuck off. Everybody hates what you believe. We don't want to see you anymore. Go away. That's the end of your party, right? And the way we're going to win is we're going to start adopting Democrat policies because that's going to get Democrats to switch over and join us. No, it's not. It's the Democrat Party and the Democrat voters just going to show nothing but contempt for you because it's going to prove that they're right in their mind. Look how weak the Republican Party is. They hate their own voters, and now they're trying to appeal to us by being us. Well, why would I vote for a cheap imitation? Nobody buys a Sony, they buy a Sony. Nobody buys a Panasonic, they buy a Panasonic. This is a terrible, terrible, absolutely losing strategy. And it's going to be the end of the party. And you know what? It won't be the end of the conservative movement because something else will come in its wake. But if this thing doesn't get fixed, if these people who are in charge of this party and destroying it, tooth and nail, root and branch, aren't put in their place, I tell you what, this thing's done.
That's already done. Question is, can it come back?
Well,
that's really what we're talking
about. The
next
thing to find out if it can come back. Because, I mean, this is pathetic to watch.
Yep. Yeah, this is it. The change in L.A., what Warren Blackwell is doing, what Mark Willis is doing, what Matthew Hurt, who was just on, is doing out there, okay, is fighting for the ability for grassroots to be involved in this party, which is the opposition structure to the Democrats, which isn't putting up much opposition at the moment, and these rules prevent it from ever happening again. This is important because there is a battle coming between the states and the federal government, just as there is a battle between the legislature and the president. These are not unusual battles. The fight for power between the states and the federal government, the fight for power between the legislative branch and the executive branch, is designed in the Constitution by our founding fathers on purpose in order to keep things from getting out of hand. It's using power against power. Now, if you want this fight to go well, then you really need to have constitutionally minded people in the executive and legislative branches. With these rules as they are now in the Republican Party, that is not going to happen. And the rules are not going to change because these people are working hard at it. They're going to change because they're working hard at it, and they can show up and say, there are millions behind us. But you have to make that known to the ones who haven't made up their mind about whether to change these rules back or not. And the very simple fact is that this party is the only chance you've got to keep the federal level from becoming a tyrannical government. It is that serious, okay? I mean, sometimes it's fun to watch these things and the arguments and all this kind of stuff. You know, Matthew was talking about he likes to fight. But we're talking about a country here. We're not talking about some kind of private club. This is the country is at stake here. And you need proper leadership. The other thing to keep in mind is, why is this so important? Grassroots, grassroots, grassroots. Because our founding fathers were not idiots. They thought these things through, and they gave us reasons for this. Okay, first they distrusted parties, which referred to as factions, read Federalist number 10. But second of all, because they believed in something called a natural aristocracy as opposed to the inherited aristocracy from Europe or from where they came. They didn't want people inheriting positions because of birthright. Do you hear that, Jeb, fuck you, Bush? Okay? It is not a birthright, Mr. Mitt Romney. You don't get to run for president just because your dad lost and you want to redeem him. It doesn't work that way. This country is about people who have the skills, the inclination, the talent for leadership. Okay? Not everybody can be a leader. Not everybody can be Ron Paul or Rand Paul or Newt Gingrich. Okay? But we want to find these people, and they can't get anywhere without the help of people who can do the heavy lifting as grassroots. By making this a primary-based party, you're throwing out a wide net to the voters at large. And the fact is that you're getting damn close to pure democracy when you do that. And a democracy will always go with the power of the majority, which means whoever can sway the mob will rule over the minority. A republic is where the rule of law it takes precedence, and therefore the individual, the minority, is protected from the power of the majority. Now you think, well, but if the Americans want this at large, the people want this, then we have to have it. Well, really? Because that's how you got fucking Barack Obama. That's democracy. The mob decided that they wanted more freebies and more benefits and nationalized free health care and free phones. Okay, that's what they voted for. And
well,
the mob will always destroy things. Yeah. It is only those who know something. So most people in this country don't know our process, don't know the Constitution, don't know how things work. When you throw the net out to the voters at large, and I'm not saying that people should be disenfranchised from voting. They should vote. But I'm talking about the process to elect the people who will be competing for that position. That is up to the people who know, the people who are informed, and the people who are willing to do the heavy lifting and are active. That's the grassroots. And what the CLEC has done to the Republican Party grassroots is says, no, we'll decide what you get, and you'll just shut up and take it. This April 10th or 11th in Los Angeles is your last chance to fix it or be prepared for a Democratic ascendancy for the next 40 years. Go, guys.
Go ahead, Tex.
Well, absolutely. You know, this party has been delivered into the hands of people who are interested in making money off of it, and you, as its supporters, more so than advancing the cause. This is seen when you look at people like Karl Rove, who are pushing the party to elect and win elections, and we have to run these rhinos, we have to run these moderates, we have to appeal to the center, we have to give up all our beliefs in order to win. Well, what is the purpose of winning? This isn't a sports team, you know, where, hey, all right, my jersey won. This is actually governing. This is affecting the way life in America is. And it's not good enough to have your team winning if when your team has a victory, it's not actually affecting the types of things that you want to see in Washington. There is vast dissatisfaction across this country with the way things are going. And this is on both the right and the left, with the direction that the country is going, because both parties believe in this system of Washington knows best, transfer everything up to D.C., we'll solve all your problems and send us more money. And once we get more money, we get into office, then we're going to take more of your money, we're going to spend it in your best interest, which really is their own best interest. That's the cancer eating away at this country. And everyone on both sides of the party, I have Democrat friends, you have Democrat friends too, they think that the two parties believe that Washington is the solution to everything and things need to come back to the localities that we've transferred too much authority. And what is the hope of turning this around? Well, the only hope on the two major political parties on the national stage is the Republican Party. And the Republican Party is right now building a ring fence around itself to make sure that you can't get in and that you can't turn the party in the direction that the country wants to go. It's a suicidal strategy.
It sure is, and you know how they did it? They did it in Tampa, and you know who did it? It was Sununu, led by Ginsburg, who's Romney's, you know, attorney, Karl Rove, and, you know, your emotional and touching and really conservative guy who pulled himself up by his bootstraps, your conservative Speaker of the House, John Boehner, did this.
Without objection, the previous question is ordered. The question is on the adoption of the resolution. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
Any other chair? The ayes have it. The resolution is adopted. Without objection, the motion to reconsider is laid on the table.
Really? Without objection? Come on. I mean, you know, that's... Everybody likes to make fun of Obama for having to use a teleprompter, which I think is great because I think the guy, you know, I hear he's such a great orator. Well, he's not, but whatever. You know, he reads off the teleprompter. Well, John Boehner read a vote off a teleprompter and basically killed the Republican Party. You want to cheer that? That's what you want to cheer? Why be a Republican? What's the point?
And everybody says, well, I can't believe the media let them get away with that. The media didn't let them get away with that. You let them get away with that if you know it and you didn't go tell other people and show them that the information is out there. You know, I've talked to people like, well, I never heard that about Tampa. You send them the information like, oh, my God. You know, yeah, oh, my God. Why are you going along with this? By being silent, you're being complicit. You're being just as bad as the media. Who is going to go wake everyone up and let them know what's going on? This party has a sickness. This party is fighting a battle for its heart and soul right now. And what do you want the heart and soul of this party to be? This is the, right now, the last best hope of mankind here in the United States. is getting this party fixed on a national level. If we don't do that, you know, it's pretty much over. What are you going to have? You're going to have, as Rex said, a Communist Party and a Liberal Democrat Party. Well, that's not what we want. Where's the Conservative Party? Where's the conservative base that this country really is? You know, they're trying to adopt this narrative now that, oh, yeah, now we're a center-right country. No, you're not. Just because, or sorry, a center-left country. No, you're not. Just because Barack Obama won, that's not an indication. He lost 13% of the vote from the last time. Nobody likes where Barack Obama's going. They just disliked Mitt Romney even more.
Yeah. Yep. Well, I mean, let's face it. Barack Obama.
The country. You lost the leadership that was providing the direction that people wanted to go. The leadership lost faith in where the people wanted to go. Go ahead.
And here's another point I want to add to this that I think is really important. People don't understand this, but Republicans, like you said earlier, that people go, well, I never heard that. I mean, I don't know how many shows we did on this crap. Hundreds, you know? How many hours we invested in educating people on this stuff? You know, did you take that information and pass it on? And I used to say this all the time. It isn't about Ron Paul. This, what they are doing in this party is wrong, and we're going to pay a price for it. I said that through the whole primary when I first saw the corruption going into, you know, going in and coming out of Florida is where my eyes went, whoa, something's funny going on here. And that's when I started doing the research. I didn't even know who Ron Paul was, you know, and all the research on the corruption at all the state levels was the Ron Paul guys were recording it and getting it online. And so that was my research, you know, my beginning into, you know, understanding the liberty movement. But the thing is that the left knew what was going on because they were reporting it on their news stations. The right, including Fox, was burying it so the average Republican would just go along and vote for Romney because they were going to shove him down people's throat, you know, any way possible. And they did everything to make it happen. And so the average Republican wasn't paying attention, didn't know what was going on, but the average Democrat saw how corrupt it was. So why in the hell would they come over to this party when, a lot of Democrats were going, oh, my God, Obama's not who we thought he was. But what are they going to do, come over to the Republican Party after they saw what happened in the primary? They were paying attention to it. More Republicans need to frickin' pay attention to what goes on in the party. Elections aren't won or lost on election day. They're won and lost now. You know, when the important work needs to get done, when people need to be educated, communicated with, things like this rules, you know, coming up, getting these things overturned, things like we tried to get Rince Priebus, you know, unelected and get somebody in there that would actually fight for the principles of this party, and that was like pulling eye teeth. You know, come on, people. It's your country at risk. You let that
Chris, a lot of people think it's not the country. They think it's just this Republican Party, and they don't like the Republican Party. Well, are you a Democrat? Because if you're not a Democrat, then you don't have to, you know, be a Democrat or be a Republican. But let's face it, the rules are rigged. It's been 100 years that this has been happening. Okay, so it's not going to get undone in one election cycle. At the national stage, at the federal level, there's two choices, the Republican and the Democrat. You ain't going to get a good Democrat if you're a conservative, but you could get a decent Republican. You could get a Rand Paul or a Ted Cruz or somebody who actually believes in conservative principles in the Constitution, but not with these rules in place. And the only way these rules are going to get reversed is if you put the pressure on and let them know that you don't want to do this. And look, the simple fact is this party has to grow at the national level if we want conservatism to rise. The question is, who's going to come into this party? Okay, are you going to let this party bleed out, okay, so that the Democrats keep winning and winning and winning and winning with worse and worse and more socialist candidates? Or are you going to grow this party with actual conservatives? This is not about Ron Paul, okay? These rules aren't for, you know, libertarian takeover of the Republican Party. These rules are for the grassroots, you on the ground level, and the principles that you want to see put forward. That's what it's about. And it doesn't matter if your issue is pro-life or traditional marriage or decriminalization of light drugs or guns or whatever your issue is. It doesn't matter. You're not going to get anywhere if these rules stand. And the Democrats aren't certainly going to be favorable to these things. So you've got to go out there and you've got to make it happen. And that's what it requires, work. So don't get excited and, you know, send your $25 check in, you know, in March of 2016 and think that's going to do anything. It's now. It's right now. Okay, we've got we've only got about 15 minutes of airtime left.
We
might go into overtime, so anybody who wants to call in, 646-649-1013, back to you guys.
I just want to throw this one point out because I say this over and over again because I think people need to understand this. 2014, you have a house we lost seats in. You lose that house, we're screwed. If they get a supermajority in the Senate, we're double screwed. If you don't like what Obama did with full control of the House and Senate in the first 2 years, can you imagine what his last 2 years will be like? I mean, all you got to do is look at all the crap. You know, people post the news of the day, the Obama this, Obama that, Obama did this, Obama did that, all day long on Facebook. And what you got to understand, can you imagine if he really had power, what he would do? So you need to get clear on this. There's 435 House seats and 33 Senate seats, and 34 governorships, and then a bunch of state houses. I don't have the numbers for that. But there's a lot of bodies that are coming up for re-election in a very short period of time. It's, you know, it's already April, blink. You know what I mean? We're moving in. People are already positioning for elections. They're already raising money, deciding who's going to run. Palin's all geared up, you know, to get out there and go, you know, and go Tea Party on the nation again. At least there's one person fighting still at the grassroots level. And you got to find the people who are doing the good work, get behind them, and win. We did massive research on third parties. We gave them platform. We interviewed their candidates. It was a wonderful time. But you know what? If you don't have 435 House members and 33 senators for me to vote for across this nation, we got to go Republican, because I'm not going to stand around here and put my foot down and go, well, you know, the party needs to die and let the communists take over. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. You know, we've got to do something to maintain, you know, to get control of the Senate and maintain control of the House, or just kiss it goodbye. And third parties ain't going to matter for crap in 2 years after that, because they'll come in, Dems and Clinton will come in and wipe us out.
Well, Chris, I agree, but here's the thing. You know, we shouldn't have third parties. We shouldn't have first parties. We should have second parties. We should have multiple parties so that everybody's views can be put out there in the marketplace of ideas and
agree
on their own merit or fail on their own merit. But that is not the way that it is. Okay? So sometimes, you know, you can get really ideological and deal with the world as it should be, or you deal with the world as it is. Deal with the world as it is. Accept reality. The reality is you have a duopoly at the federal level. Work in that. You want to break it open? Great. I applaud you. I want you to break it open. I friggin' hate only having two choices, and really one, because, I mean, come on, the Democrats lost it 40 years ago. But here's the thing. It's not going to happen from the federal level. It's going to have to happen at the states. As right now, they're nullifying Obamacare, nullifying the state exchanges, and nullifying the drones. You're going to have to change the ballot rules and the voting access for the alternate parties. That's not going to happen in 2014. It's not going to happen in 2016. That doesn't mean you don't work for it. But in the meantime, you do both things. While you're working to open it up so that we can have multiple parties and multiple voices, you have to support the bulwark against total tyranny. And that is the Republican Party. And a Republican Party that is currently deceased, and a Republican Party that is run by the CLEC, which is the consultant lobbyist establishment complex. That's the reality. It sucks. Okay? So face it. Okay? And work in it. These rules can be changed. These rules must be changed. It is in 10 days. So don't sit there and post news of the day crap about what's going to happen later this year, or post about 2016. Every time I mention Rand Paul, people are like, do you think he'll be a good president? I don't give a shit if he'd be a good president. He's a damn good senator. He's a damn good senator. Support him as a senator right now. Him and Ted Cruz and Mike Lee, support them for that. But if you want to see more Justin Amash and more Rand Paul and more Ted Cruz, okay, more of the, quote, wacko birds, then you're going to have to reverse these rules. And there are only 168 people who are legally delegated to do this right now. So hammer them. Hammer all of them right now.
If the rules stand as they are, I feel like a Ted Cruz or Rand Paul, what have you, for 2016, even though I think it's way early to be thinking about that, but if you like them, with these rules, you could pretty much forget it because the establishment does not like those guys. And if they're picking the delegates, they sure as heck are not going to pick delegates to select them. They're going to hand you a big line of bullcrap on Fox News and all the Republican Party drones who just sit there, watch TV, wait for it to tell them to what to do, go out to the election booth and pull the lever for whoever they've been told to vote for. You're going to lose to those guys, so you have to change these rules. This is what actually happened in the 2012 election. Nobody liked Romney, so nobody showed up at the state convention, so nobody wanted to be a Romney delegate because who gives a crap? It's Romney. I hate the guy. I didn't want to vote for him, but I guess it's him, and there's nothing that I can do about it. But the party machinery kept operating, and the Ron Paul people went in, and they were like, hey, we could get control of the delegates, and then we could put Ron Paul over the top. And the party was like, holy crap, they could get control of the delegates, and they could put Ron Paul over the top. And so they came up with this crap in order to stop that from happening. Well, with these rule changes, what it allows them to do is basically hand-pick whoever they want to be president. They don't even need the primaries, essentially, with this new system. So you have got to make sure that this gets changed because it's a death knell of the party if we don't.
Yep, you got it, Tex. And we're in the last 8 minutes of live show. We're probably spilling into overtime. If you want to listen, 646-649-1013. We'll be back next Sunday, 10 p.m., usual time. Now, here's the thing. You've got to do this work. And that doesn't mean just send out 168 emails, 168 tweets, and 168 Facebook posts and maybe make a few phone calls. It means do all of that, but it also means get other people who aren't doing it. Don't sit there and, like, you know, post this stuff to other people who you know are active on Facebook and Twitter and all that kind of stuff. You got to get people who are not active and get them active, okay? The way that you can do that is either share the information you've learned, listen to the show again and write, take some notes, and then share that information and give people the links to the committee people. It's on our page. There's 168 of them. You can get their emails, Facebook page, Twitter, all that stuff. Contact Matthew Hurt. He can tell you how to do that also. We're not the only ones working on this, but I sometimes feel like we're the only ones talking about it, okay? But you can download the show as an MP3 and give it to people. We're not everybody's cup of tea. That's fine. You don't have to like me, okay? You don't have to agree with me on any particular issue or any particular candidate. But what you do have to recognize and what you do have to agree on is that at the federal level, it's either the statist Democrats or the Republicans. And the only question is, are the Republicans corporatist Keynesian statists, or are they constitutional conservatives, or some mix thereof, okay? And that is contingent upon these rules, which means if you're a Gary Johnson supporter, a big L libertarian, a Constitution Party, an independent, a minarchist, voluntarist, anarchist, Rothbardian, Ayn Randroid, whatever, okay? It means that if you want any of these things to stop, whether it be illegal drone strikes, the Federal Reserve, you know, the assault on the entire Bill of Rights, the Obamacare, whatever the hell it is that you want done, you need a federal structure in which to roll back the tide of tyranny. And that only shot you have at the federal level is the Republican Party. So whether you're a Republican or not, okay, do this. Do this. This helps the Constitution Party. This helps the Libertarian Party. This helps anybody that isn't interested in federal tyranny. It can, even if you're an Occupy Wall Streeter, it helps you too, because federalism diffuses power and then your voice is louder. If you keep letting the duopoly do this, your voice is irrelevant, and that's what these rules tell anybody involved in the Republican Party or conservative politics. It tells you your voice is irrelevant. Karl Rove and a bunch of douchebags with a lot of money are going to get down together and decide who the next asshole to run is, and it's probably going to be another friggin' Bush. If you don't want to see that, or you already got Bush a fourth term right now with your Nobel Peace Prize holding, you know, drone killing, foreign country illegal invading bastard, Okay? You want another Bush to do the same thing, or do you actually want to have somebody who might reverse some of this crap? And keep in mind, as Chris said, all of the House and all of the Senate, these things are contingent upon the party. Do you really think that if the Republicans had run pretty much anybody other than Mitt Romney, do you think that they might have picked up some House seats and possibly some Senate seats?
Oh, yeah. No doubt. I've said that a dozen times, that Romney was going to cost us down ballot.
Absolutely. It destroyed the brand. That's the problem. Romney is a Massachusetts liberal. The country does not vote for people from Massachusetts. As I said before, since 1960, the same number of candidates from Texas has run as the same number of candidates from Massachusetts. Off the top of my head, I believe it's either 5 or 6. And every one of the ones from Texas has won. Every one of the ones from Massachusetts has lost. When Romney became the nominee, the party sealed its fate and it decided that it wanted to lose in November. And the stupid thing is, Karl Rove thought, no, me and my millions of dollars will overcome it. This guy claims to be this big analyst. Like, he understands everything. He knows exactly what's going on. What he didn't know, that Massachusetts politicians are historically unpopular in the nation and they don't win elections. You guys are an idiot.
Dukakis.
Idiot. Yeah. I mean, people gave him hundreds of millions of dollars to make fools of themselves and to destroy the party. They got paid to destroy the party. And now, you know what? After his historic and laughing, stock defeat in these elections, he's come back and he's got a solution. So invest in his new solution. His new solution is to stop the Tea Party candidates before they get out there so that the rhinos can get on the ticket. I mean, and I guarantee you someone out there has given him money. Someone out there is like, you know what? This guy is right. And they're cutting him checks. Whoever that guy is, like the stupidest person on the planet, who's listening to Karl Rove right now? That's the path to victory? Oh, yeah, let's get rid of these Tea Party guys to get people out in the polls, get people excited, think there could be a future, a country worth living in, people, all animated, going out talking to their neighbors, about the party, trying to get people involved and all that kind of stuff. Let's tamp that down and get rid of those people. And let's get these people who are going to try to make sure that there's no distinction between them and the Democrats. That's going to win this election, because all these, quote, independents and moderates are going to come over and vote for our side. And they're not going to see through that complete charade, and they're going to vote for the imitation over the real thing. I mean, come on, it's stupidity. Where did this guy learn this? It's his big secret to political victory, to political success. It's like the shittiest strategy I've ever heard of in my entire life. And you know what?
Pockets,
it has
though.
A 2% success rate, so I guess now I got data behind me. 2%. 2%
and a whiteboard.
Like, that's what I want to see. Yeah, a whiteboard.
Yeah, exactly,
a whiteboard.
Chris. He comes on the whiteboard, on Fox News and dazzles you, and then you give him money. The conservative movement is destroyed. The Republican Party implodes, but Karl Rove and his buddies make a lot of money. You're idiots. You're falling for garbage. All right, let's bring it on home. Let's tie this up and let everybody get to work on this. You've got 10 days, okay? Just half hour, 45 minutes a day, instead of watching Dancing with the Douchebags or whatever it is you waste your time on with the television. Just do this for 45 minutes a day for the next 10 days, and perhaps we can actually get these rules changed, and then we can figure it out. And don't sit there and go, well, but, I think the Republicans should be for gay marriage, or I think they need to get off the social issues, or this is my thing. Who cares? Right now you've got two choices, right? You got two choices. Total government control of your life, okay, or diffusion of power. That's it. You can wrestle around with the other issues later, but right now it won't make a difference if you have, if you're taxed to death, if your dollar's debased totally, if you're involved in more foreign wars than your military can handle. You're talking about total collapse. It'll be one big giant Cyprus, okay? So you've got to make sure that you do this. That's the most important thing. Why don't we go to Chris for final thoughts, and then we'll head over to you, Tex, and then I'll bring it on home.
Well, I agree with what everybody's been talking about. I think we're right on, and what you said earlier, I'm all for competition. But right, and you saw my post, you liked my post that I wrote. I'm not fighting for a party. I'm fighting for my country. I don't like parties. I don't like Republicans. I don't like the Democrats. Man, I live half my life in Alaska. I don't like a lot of people. You know, I mean, that's just the way I am. I'm not a real organizational kind of guy. But in 2014, you got 465 seats and 34 governors up for reelection. We need to win. And it's kind of like standing around going, yeah, but ran this, yeah, but ran that, yeah, but ran. I mean, that's all I hear. And I'm like going, get off of it. It isn't 2016. He's not running for president. You know, focus on the things that matter. Rand is in for four more years, so you don't have to worry about his seat. But there's a lot of seats. And actually, I made that post earlier from Heritage Action, and they have a very specific strategic plan where we need to win and how it's going to get done. And that was pretty sharp. I tripped over that today, and I was looking at that going, well, somebody finally not, you know, posting the conspiracy or the news of the day, somebody actually has a plan to win in 2014. You know, get connected with Palin. Find out where Palin's working. Palin picks winners. She backs people, and they win. She didn't have a 2% rate like what's his name, Rose? You know, she
Pam
had
Rose.
She's got a huge success rate. She was all over the country in the Tea Party era. She was all over, you know, you look at the people that are highlighted today that we are going, yeah, go, Rand, go, Amash, you know, all these people. She was all behind those guys, you know, and she's up and running, you know, for 2014. While everybody's standing around trying to figure out, you know, what guns we're going to lose and do we need a national registry and what's gay marriage about, you know, there's people out here fighting for the damn country. You know, none of these things are going to matter if the socialists take control of the House and Senate. That's next year, folks. You know? So anyway, that's my input. Wake the hell up.
No, that's excellent, Chris, and thanks. And for everybody listening, you know, share the show. We really appreciate it. And this isn't about text and racks. Look, we're just a couple of brown coats with a microphone, and we don't get paid to do this. Actually, we pay to do this. We're not doing it for our own benefit. Well, I mean, tertiarily, I guess, because if the country's more free, our lives are better. We're doing this because you've got to inform people, and you've got to get people who aren't active. And Chris is doing that on Facebook with Coalition of Freedom. So check out the page, get in there, and this type of information is what's in that group so that people can take action, and he keeps it organized and he keeps it tight so that you can get the relevant information other than the news of the day crap and actually take action. And right now for the next 10 days, this is the action to take. So thanks, Chris, and we'll see you around. Tex, why don't you go ahead and close it down for us and throw it back to me.
Well, I would say people are attacking Rand Paul for some of the things that he's done. This is Rand Paul this, Rand Paul that. You know, this is his stance on this or whatever. But look, he's bringing the party along. This is where the enthusiasm is. People like what's going on. Mitch McConnell is all of a sudden on board with everything that Rand Paul's doing. You know why? He's from Kentucky, too, and he's scared shitless that he's going to be primaried. So he's bringing the leadership along with him, reluctantly, but they will pretend. The thing is, should Mitch McConnell hang around? Probably not, because, you know, as soon as he gets that reelection, it's going to go back to being the same type of establishment Republican that he's always been. But he's more than happy to, you know, be a wolf in sheep's clothing until he gets through his next primary. And then look at what Marco Rubio's doing. Oh, this is the next golden boy here. Well, now he's working on some immigration legislation that he's currently running around the country apologizing for and stating, you know, trying to cover his ass in every way he possibly can because he's about to do something. Rand Paul filibustered the drone legislation. Well, Rubio is about to associate himself with some legislation and try to be something more than all talk. Well, that's going to be unpopular, let me tell you, okay? So let's see what comes out of this. But the Republican Party, the establishment, and the news and Fox News are going to blow this thing up to be the greatest thing since sliced bread. We'll have to see what comes out of it. Maybe there's some good ideas there. I'm not going to poo-poo it until I see it. But it sounds like he's already nervous about it. So, you know, if you're going to go after Rand Paul for some of the things that he's done, you know, look at some of the things that Marco Rubio is doing as well. And don't buy into the fact that politicians are all perfect. I support Newt Gingrich, but there are things Gingrich has done that I don't support. I like Ron Paul, but there are some things Ron Paul does that I don't fully support. All of these candidates have their strengths. They have their weaknesses. You need to find the one that is most aligned with you. So, you know, I would watch out for that. And suddenly, out of nowhere, we got Ricky Santorum popping his head up out, you know, all of a sudden out of the blue in a day. You know, I forgot who that guy was. You know, apparently, for a while, he was running for president against Mitt Romney, according to Karl Rove on Fox News, a guy with $1 million and Karl Rove pumping money into his PAC in order to keep him afloat as the alternative to Mitt Romney, because he knew ultimately Rick Santorum had zero chance of winning. Now, apparently, Rick Santorum has some thoughts on the Republican Party and how best to fix it. Well, you know, Rick, you lost your election by 18% in the Senate race in Pennsylvania, and, you know, I just don't think any Republican is ever going to listen to anything that you have to say because you suck. And if you had been the nominee, I would have gone to the polls absolutely to vote against you. If Mitt Romney had been, well, Mitt Romney was the nominee, but when I went to vote, I would not vote for Mitt Romney, but I would definitely go vote against Rick Santorum. I can't stand the guy, and anything he has to say, pretty much you can put me down in the against column. I just don't like that jerk. But he's back, blowing his mouth off, I think, because he's got nothing better to do. And he wants to run in 2016, and what better way than to shoot his mouth off and be a douchebag today and remind us all why we hate his freaking guts. So, anyway, sorry. I can go off of Rick Santorum, just I hate the guy. Cannot say anything
you really
about
feel.
Him.
Well, you know, it's Newt's fault that we even have to talk about Rick Santorum. It was Newt's 1994 victory that delivered Rick Santorum into politics. So
you
blame Newt.
You know, Rick Santorum, he's already come up with a theme for his 2016 presidential campaign. And the theme he's going to be running with, he announced this in a speech today, is called Ballot Box Poison. That's his theme.
Well, you know what his emblem's going to be? It's going to be a big telescope looking in your bedroom.
Exactly.
All right. Since you brought up Santorum, I'm going to go ahead and start there. Unless you're still going, Tex.
So I could go on Rick Santorum all night, but it's probably not healthy. No. So just move on.
All right. Well, you know, I happen to agree with some of Rick Santorum's views on certain issues, but I can't. And the guy, as a politician, I most certainly don't want to see him as president. And frankly, I think that Rick Santorum is precisely what is wrong with the Republican Party.
Mm.
Okay? By the same token, okay, he speaks about the problems with, quote, libertarianism. And on some of those things, he's not necessarily wrong. You libertarians who have this idea that anything goes are completely missing the point, and you're actually allowing yourselves to be the useful idiots of the left. This country was founded by classical liberals, what we would today call libertarians, because the liberals stole the good word, which has its origin in liberty. Classical liberals who believed in libertarianism vis-a-vis politics, which means local autonomy, federalism, okay, diffusion of power, and economics, which means the natural free market where free human beings can engage in voluntary trade. But they did not believe in libertarian or really more libertine social structures. And they even told us this. They said that the Constitution we have given you, the Republic we have handed you, is for a moral and religious people. And Ron Paul and Rand Paul, who are, quote, the popular libertarians, these are both Christian family men who are conservative Republicans. So understand that and separate this whole, you know, painting people with one swath. Oh, the libertarians are pot-smoking sodomites and they're taking over the Republican Party. That's not happening. By the same token, don't go running over to Ricky Santorum because he happens to be right on some of your conservative and Christian social issues, because he's wrong on everything else. He wants to dictate everything from Washington, D.C. He doesn't want to have diffusion of power. He wants to spend more money on all the things that he likes. Well, screw you, Ricky Santorum. You don't get to decide for everybody. And that's the problem with the Republican Party.
I think someday we should have a show on what a jerk Rick Santorum is, because I could talk for hours about how much I hate the guy.
I have his file memorized. I have his voting record. I have him standing with the Democrats, filibustering against the Republicans when they were trying to break the backs of the unions across this country. I have the people he stood behind. You know, I mean, he gave us, who was the final guy that gave us the vote for Obamacare?
Arlen Specter.
I mean, he was standing there, you know, Mr. I believe, you know, man, he backed that New Jersey governor who was a partial birth abortion. I know this guy inside and out because I fought against him through the primary, and I really researched him because he was pulling so many of these, you know, Christian right. And I'm going like, you don't even know this guy. You know, I wonder how many people just can't read in America anymore, you know. But I have his
whole
Chris, file.
Well, Chris, they definitely liked Rick's positions on, you know, life, on marriage, you know.
Yeah, but that doesn't make you a politician.
He's a traditional Orthodox Catholic, and on those views, he's right. However, all right, this is not a Christian country in the sense that there isn't one particular state religion or one particular denomination, and it's not supposed to be that way. And you Christians, if you want to make your case, you make your case the way that the Christians did it in Rome. You do it through love. You reach out to people where they are and don't bitch and judge them, but reach out to them in love. Okay, now that does not mean that we have to have legislation that allows every filthy practice that human beings can come up with either. All right, there is a balance. There is a balance. But the fact is that you're not going to have that balance if you don't have diffusion of power. And that is a libertarian idea, a classical liberal idea. And if you look at the two revolutions that occurred at the time, they were both, quote, liberal revolutions. There was one here in 1776, and there was one in France in 1789. The French wanted to overturn every aspect of culture, from the calendar to the religion, and make the state God. The Americans, who were British subjects at the time, wanted to reclaim their traditional rights that have been passed down in English common law for centuries from an out-of-control parliament, which is like a Congress, and king, which is like your president. Why is the president like a king? Because that's all you people think about, 2016, 2020, 2024. How about you think about the next 10 days? Because if you don't reverse these ridiculous rules in the Republican Party shall remain dead in 2013, 2014. You will lose seats in the House. You will lose seats in the Senate, you will lose seats across state houses, and you won't get the presidency, and you will have democratic totalitarian rule. When I say democratic, I'm talking big D douchebag socialists for the next 40 years. That's not good for libertarians, minarchists, Ayn Rand people, Christians. It's not good for anybody, okay? So you have to do this. That means get people involved.
Why are we even taking Rick Santorum serious, or anybody even listening to what he has to say? I mean, look, this whole thing, the whole gist of his bullshit today.
I sort of moved past, you know, Rick Santorum. You brought him back
sorry.
Up.
Well, no.
Damn it.
You referenced him. I know. I'm sorry. I hung up on this.
I don't want to talk about this guy.
You mentioned.
You know why? I'll tell you why. Because he's going to get in 2016 and split the vote.
I know.
Again.
You're going to have to hear about this jackass over and over again. I can't stand it. Anyway. But he's out there saying, well, this is the Republican Party, not the Libertarian Party or whatever. I'm thinking, you know, look, who he's gunning for right here is the Ron Paul group, right? Ron Paul agrees with your, you know, pro-life stance, all this other kind of stuff, but he can't reach across the aisle. He can't say, okay, yeah, well, I agree with him on this, but I have this difference. He's, you know, trying to shoot this shit across the broadside. You know why? Because he's not even a fucking social conservative. He's a fucking establishment jackass asshole, as his voting record shows over and over again. All he is a plant in the social conservative wing of the party for the establishment to bring that wing along, and in order to try to jettison the libertarian, the liberty movement in the Republican Party. Look, I'm a Republican. I'm an economic Republican first. It's my big thing. All right, I think taxes should be low. The government's spending too much fucking money. It's taking too much of the stuff. That's the primary issue. Everything spreads out from there. But, you know, if I had to list number one, that would be my number one thing, okay? And his thing is he's a big government conservative, but he's sitting there for the establishment, playing the Pied Piper for the SoCon movement, and he's a fake, as Ron Paul so eloquently said. The guy's a fake,
mm-hmm.
he's a phony, he's a plant, he's a jackass, and if anybody listens to this guy, woe to you. Anyway, sorry I brought it back to recess.
Oh, nice shooting, Tex.
He is a fake.
You nailed it.
As a politician. Personally, I don't know. I'm not going to judge a guy. But as a politician, he's a fake. And here's the problem. Just like you quote libertarians with your, you know, anything that people want to do as long as they don't step on somebody else's toes is okay, are kind of useful idiots of the left, Ricky Santorum is a useful idiot of the CLEC, all right, because he appeals to far-right, quote, Christian conservatives and lures them into this big government bullshit. Well, you know, got to tell you something. You know,
Christianity. That'll work.
It's Easter Monday, right? It's Easter Monday. We're talking about the resurrection of Christ. I want you to remember something. After the resurrection and ascension of Christ, Christians were faced with a big government empire that put you in with the lions, that persecuted you, took your property, killed you.
Burned
That's
you.
What big government did. And in fact, who was it who killed Christ? It was big government. All right? That doesn't mean that you become an anarchist. All right? But it means that you, if you want the freedom to reach out to people where they are and spread the gospel and preach the message, then you need a liberal structure to do that, which is completely in conformity with Christian social teaching. And that is where you need to be. You don't dictate to other people, because remember something, God doesn't impose, he proposes. So we have the freedom to propose, then you win on your own merits. All right? You're losing the battle now, and you got big government, which is also robbing you blind. So how about we scale that back, and you win by doing the work yourself instead of electing some asshole like Rick Santorum to do it for you. Okay? It's that simple. But it doesn't matter to talk about Rick Santorum or anything else, because I got to tell you something. Most of the, quote, libertarian wacko birds that I know are Christians. They're pro-life. They're pro-traditional marriage. Okay? So don't give me this crap, because, all the crazy, crazy extreme libertarians, they're not in the Republican Party. They're in the Libertarian Party. Or they're anarchists, and they don't want to be in any party. So it's very simple. If you don't form coalitions and you don't get over yourself and your personal issues, whether it be legalizing marijuana or preventing homosexuals from getting married, okay, I don't care what the issue is. If you don't form coalitions and if you don't contact 168 of these committee members of the RNC and get them to change these rules, it won't matter. None of it will matter, because your voice will be irrelevant. You will never get a candidate who stands up for your issues. People like Rand Paul and Ted Cruz will be silenced and gerrymandered out of power. Okay, well, I mean, I guess
right.
You can't gerrymander a senatorial district, but they'll be pushed aside by the big money and the rules. You'll never get a presidential candidate with any mettle at all, or even who possibly might have at once in their life read the Constitution. So it's up to you. Do the heavy lifting. Call, email, tweet 168 committee members. Tell them you want these rules from Tampa reversed. Get other people to do it. Don't sit on your ass and watch Dancing with the Douchebags. Actually do this work and share this show so that the information can get out there. If you don't like my style, doesn't matter. It's not about my style. It's not about my position. It's about the simple fact that there's one opposition to the Democrats, and that's the Republican Party. And if you want that Republican Party to stand up for liberty and for the Constitution, you've got to fix these rules or it ain't going to happen. Okay? So get to work. Get other people to work. Let's make it happen. And then we'll talk about all the other issues after that fact. So after that angry message, I will leave you with the reason why I'm so pissed off. And Tex and I were in Tampa when the convention was happening. And whether you like Ron Paul or you like the people who supported Ron Paul or not is irrelevant. What is relevant is that in this party, which says that it's for a Republican form of government, for smaller government, for a federalist structure, for lower taxes, which are not necessarily income taxes because that's illegal, okay, if you want this party to have any chance of success, then it has to be open to grassroots. And if you think that the, quote, libertarians are not the right kind of people, that's fine. Then you beat them in the marketplace of ideas. You beat them at the grassroots level, okay? So But right now it's a top-down dictated mess. And in Los Angeles on April 10th, people are meeting to deliberate whether these rules should be rolled back or not. It's up to you to make it happen. This is what happened in Tampa. It was a staged setup, and I want you to retaliate, get angry about it, and get busy, because it was just absolutely not conservative what happened in Tampa. And if you're a real conservative, make it happen.
Without objection, the previous question is ordered. The question is on the adoption of the resolution. All those in favor signify by saying aye. All those opposed, no. We need another chair. The ayes have it. The resolution is adopted. Without
That's
objection, the motion to reconsider is laid on the table.
That's what happened. And either you do something about it, which means you call all 168 members, or you agree with it. The choice is yours. I strongly recommend you stand up for liberty. Be hopeful. Be optimistic, because we're going to win, provided we stick together. This is Texan Rex, signing off.
Flames of Liberty will never die.